Broadcasting live, weekday morning, this is listener-supported One Radio Network.
Little one, little love, little hands, look how they hold the world. Oh, stay a while, little smile, little eyes, soon they will know the world. But there's no rush in getting older, no use in wishing to be young. Live every part of it, you're at the heart of it, little one. Little one, where'd you go? One so small, look at the way you've grown. Oh, dress up dolls, playing house, those days are gone. Now you've got a house of your own. And there's no rush in getting older, no use in wishing to be young. Live every part of it, you're at the heart of it, little one, little one. Oh, 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 oh.
Good morning. This is OneRadioNetwork.com. The telephone number is 888-663-6386. Email patrick@OneRadioNetwork.com. Here's your host, Patrick Timpone.
I love that line. There's no rush in getting old and no use in wishing to be young. That's so profound, isn't it? Now you could contemplate on that one sentence and you have the secret of life. There's no rush in getting young and no use to wishing. No, what is it? There's no rush in getting old and no use in wishing to be young. Hello, who's this? Good morning.
Hey, good morning. This is Robert.
Hey, Robert, you wishing you... No, you've been... Whatever. How are you, kid? I almost got that out. I just couldn't do
it.
Dad, what's
that? I didn't mean to scare you now.
That's right. You just scared me. I haven't talked to you for a few weeks. I thought you died.
Oh. Here comes trouble, Colin.
Here comes trouble. It's always trouble with you, Robert.
Well, congratulations on the dental report.
What do you think? Boy, that was the bomb, wasn't it? Man.
Well, I'm trying to cipher it out. I seen your old one. Did you ever post the first one to compare?
Robert, if you look on that, as I said, of course, you never listen to me. If you click on that PDF, go to the third page, and they have the old one and the new one right on top of each other so you can compare.
I'm on there now.
Okay, go to third page.
Let's see.
See, Robert never listens to me, so I mean,
you know. There's so much to listen to. I'm sure you can agree with that. It's hard to listen to everything. My goodness.
My goodness.
Duct tape around the head. Okay, I'm on the third page.
Okay. So
and I see the graphs.
Yeah, the top one is 3 months ago, and the bottom one is a week ago.
Yeah, this one was collected 8-1. Okay, so you have both of them on there. Okay.
See that? Previous test?
Yeah, yep, right.
And then the latest test. Look at the high-risk pathogens. Look at the decrease in those guys. Wow.
I'm looking here. Before, you had 9. After, 9. Total bacteria above threshold. You still have the same 9 bacteria, it says, right?
But they're all way lower.
But the 5... were above threshold before, now 0.
Mm-hmm.
And then high risk present, 3 and 3. High risk above threshold, 0.
But look at the decrease in the high risk. Mm-hmm. Some of those are like 80% decrease. That's huge.
Right.
Huge.
So that, go ahead.
Right, in the high risk. See the red ones on the left?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm looking at the little chart below where they compare total and high.
Mm-hmm.
Before and after. So you still have those nine present. All nine are still present. Huh? Can't get rid of those guys.
No.
Don't want to, right?
No. Don't say that. It's only been 3 months. She said that they'll all get lower, and what you want to see is them all kind of at where the first ones are, just a little bit of each ones. That's where you really want. You don't want to get rid of them all because you want everybody to play nice together.
Let me ask this before we go further on that. Did Dr. Ellie ever say what hers was? Just as a
example? Yeah, she said that every now and then she sees little ones on, you know, very small little tips of them. Or none at all.
She still has the nine present, though.
You'd have to email her. I don't recall. I don't know exactly.
Next time she comes on, I'll call in and ask that. So yeah, just be curious. Let me just give a little silly analogy. I remember when we used to be at work and getting reviews. You know, you had the review was, oh, how did they do it? The excellent employee,
right?
The good employee, the average employee, and then the poor. And, you know, we always got, you know, good. And we're like, where is this excellent employee? Can you point him out to us?
That's right. Where is he? Does he
so
is
we this? Can be like him. You know, it was just a fictitious rating. No one ever got that.
Of course. So it's like when my mom said, there's starving children in, you know, whatever. And we always used to say, well, come on, show me one. Where is one? I want to see one. Yeah.
So, yeah, you know, and again, you know, on a silly note, whenever I go to doctors, I know we're all individual. Everybody's different, but I like to say, okay, you're telling me what to do now, but what do you have in your medicine cabinet, you know? What do you actually do, you know? Because that's why I like when you ask people, what do you eat for breakfast, you know? Just curious, not that we have to, but just kind of seeing what they're doing. Okay, so yeah, so now what's your goal? To get rid of those, you don't have any high risk above threshold, you just want to get rid of the three high risk. That's what's next, right?
No, I don't even care anymore. I probably won't ever do the test. I'm just going to keep doing this and just forget about it.
Okay. Since how much was it? That was one of my questions.
That's a ballpark. Good question. Ballpark. She paid for the second one because she wanted me to take it as an experiment. That was nice of her. And I paid for the first one, and I think, you know, I'm thinking maybe 175 or something, 150. But if you go on that link on her, a couple of her show pages, it takes you to the place to do it. And you can.
Okay, that was going to be my next question. So this is something you can get sent in your mailbox?
Correct.
Okay, so you don't have to go into the
I don't think so. I don't think so. Again, if you go into drellie.com, go on to her contact page, and you can email her. And if you have a specific question about that, she'll answer you.
Now, my dentist, Galeros, down here, you know, he's biological, but they're all a little different. And I'm sure if I requested this.
Oh, he'd do it.
I guess my question is, do you have to go through a doctor to get it?
I went to a clinic in Oak Hill, and they gave it to me because Dr. Ellie sent me, but I just don't know that. I don't think so, but I'm not sure. I would go to one of Dr. Ellie's past shows and click on the link. I can go there right now, but I always do your work for you, Robert. So, Dr. Ellie.
We talked for 3 hours yesterday, and we didn't get down to the nitty-gritty here.
Oh, no, we did get down to the nitty-gritty.
That was a good interview yesterday.
Yeah, it was fun, wasn't it? Let me look at some.
She likes to talk. I mean,
oh,
she's a good
talker.
Interview. She's a really, you guys get along.
Yeah. So let's see. Where is that?
She married?
Used to be. Okay, here it is. Oral DNA lab provider. Clicking there. The name of it is oraldna.com. Let's see. Please enter your postal code. Oh, I think they send you to a lab, 78620. Let's do this, Robert, and see what we come up with.
I mean, my next step was obviously to call them, contact them, and they're in Minnesota, it looks like. And
oh, you know what they do?
On oraldna.com.
What you do is you put in your zip code, and they list all the different dentists and little centers that are near you. So maybe you do need to go. What's your zip code?
77345.
77345. Let's do it within, what do you want, 20 miles or 30 miles? Or
30? Go 50 or 100, because okay. Glaros is about 50 miles from me.
Okay, I'll go 100 miles just for fun. 77345?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that's, I bet you got a lot of places here. Woodlands, Metal, Dentistry, Fawcett's there. Let's see if Glaros is in here. I bet he is. I mean, Glaros is in all this stuff. Yeah, you got a kabillion dentists within that zip code that does this test, can get it for you. I bet you could just probably call Glaros, his office,
if you
want to do it. They'd probably just order it for you if they don't have it on hand. Because you're a patient. That's what I would do.
Oh, yeah, I'm just kicking it around right now with you.
That's right. That's what I would do.
Yeah, they never mentioned it, but about a year ago, they start having a little microscope, actually a big microscope, in the hygienist cleaning room. Mm-hmm. And she does a little saliva test.
Right.
She looks on there at some stuff and says, you know, yay, nay, and all that.
Right.
And before I started doing the LE protocol, my half measure one, and I'm getting better at it. We'll talk about that. She said, oh, you got a lot of white blood cells, meaning
that's
white
good.
Blood cells infection in there.
Well,
but that's when I was doing the peroxide all the time.
Right.
Flossing heavily.
Everybody's got white blood cells, though, so don't worry about
of
that.
Course, but,
what else did you have?
Well,
did you have spiral?
I said a lot of them.
Did you have spiral kits?
Again, there's a.
Did you have any? Did you have anything else?
Yeah, she mentioned maybe some of those.
Spiral kits.
Maybe.
Gliding rods, anything like that?
Yeah, rods and cones. My microbiology is a little rusty. She said, "See how big these are. You know, you don't want those, but." Nothing alarming. She didn't say, hey, you're going to die and you better get this checked out.
Well, yeah.
Then fast forward about 3 or 4 months, I start doing some of the protocol and it was a lot improved. And that wasn't even doing it fully.
Fully, huh? The whole thing. Yeah, as I said on the air.
That peroxide, I think, was bad. You know, we thought that was good. When I say we, you know, a lot of us, even you were doing it.
Mm-hmm.
But that just is too harsh in the mouth.
Well, it kills everything.
It destroyed that biofilm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the last time I was there, I had spirochetes, clods, small rods, large rods, spinning rods, and this one Monday I had zero bacteria. It was pretty, she was amazed, this gal at Nummy's place. Zero.
Zero bacteria?
Zero.
In the mouth?
In the mouth, when she did the thing. And she dug in there with a little tool.
You can't have zero.
No, no.
You want to have bacteria.
No. This is all, she did, no bad guys. She dug in there 4 different places in my mouth, right in the under tooth there, you know, got in there where the bacteria live, right? Not just spit, but right in there, 4 different spots, upper left, lower left, upper right, lower right, 4 quadrants, smeared it on there, she's got a real fancy thing like you're talking about. They take a picture of it, and you can see them all, and they also tell you, I didn't have any bad dudes.
Right, no bad dudes, but you got bacteria, because without bacteria, we're dead. We have to have bacteria.
Well, I don't know about that. They don't even measure all that stuff.
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
I just had a few white blood cells.
I remember in college, Patrick, you know, the professor, when we were doing microbiology, he said, who rules the world? And we're like, oh, the U.S. government, dictators, this, that. He said, no. He said, microbes rule the world. Meaning, you know, how you've heard the story, we have more bacteria in us than cells in our body and all that type of stuff.
Yeah, we're about we're about 80% bacteria or something. It's all bacteria.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's the deal in the gut, too, in my opinion, to get them all balanced out and, you know, kill things.
Mm-hmm. And when are you doing your cleanings? Because, you know, I know she said do it at night. Cause that's whenever everything's going on, when you're sleeping. Then it seems like if you do it in the morning, it's too close together, depending on how you sleep. When are you doing your programs?
I do it first
Not
thing
the
in the morning.
Call, but the
yeah, first thing in the morning, and then I do it before bed.
Okay, so you're doing before and after, morning and night.
Mm-hmm. And then in between and meals.
During the day, the xylitol.
Yeah, then chew a little xylitol gum or take some mints, and that does a whole other thing with the bacteria to keep it happy during the day.
So what did Nunley think? He didn't present I heard you say you're going to guys are going to go out for lunch. You're going to present the protocol to him, and we shall see, right?
Yeah, I mean, he was pretty impressed with the lab of not having anything. And I didn't.
With your results.
Yeah, but I didn't have the DNA when I went there Monday. I didn't get the DNA until Wednesday, but I sent him the DNA results. So he's going to have that in hand before he meets Dr. Ellie in a couple of weeks. So that'll be good.
Was he aware of this test?
Oh, yeah, he knew of it. Yeah, he knew
of it. He doesn't do it, though.
I don't think he has done it regularly, but he's not a fan of fluoride. So
that was going to be one of my next questions.
He doesn't like fluoride. But according to Dr. Ellie, that's not an issue, especially in the amounts, which are very small. And also the microbiome, once that gets happy, it protects the fluoride from even soaking in there. And it's different from fluoride in the water or the way she's using it.
You know, I think just kicking it around, obviously, what do we know? Like you say, we don't know a whole lot. There's so much. But I think they threw the baby out with the bathwater. Now, I'm saying there may be people that can do without fluoride because I've seen people. This guy I worked with, he was a Hispanic guy, perfect teeth, said he never had a cavity. And I'm like, what? And me, all kind of cavities as a kid. So there's some genetic factor and then diet, obviously. So I think those people may never need no fluoride. But I think the mistake I made just seeing the results I'm getting now was I probably never should have completely stopped fluoride. So I bought into the no fluoride going to kill you and all that, or bad for you. I'll take back the word kill. So it was one of those myths because what my question to her was going to be, what does the fluoride do? That remineralizes the teeth?
The small amount of fluoride in this program, it does something to the teeth, the energetics, to allow it, the minerals, to harden. That's how it works. To allow the minerals, the mineralization with the saliva in a healthy biome to remineralize and harden the teeth. That's what it does. And that's why this fluoride, doctors knew this on some level. But then they got carried away, and they wanted to fill people's mouth with this fluoride and put it in the water, and it's got out of control, very dangerous.
Right.
Yeah, but there is fluoride in spring water, and there's fluoride in cheese, and there's natural fluoride that God put in there that we wouldn't need any extra fluoridation if we were all, you know, drinking spring water and eating raw cheese and food, and you wouldn't need anything at all. So we're just kind of dealing with... What's that?
I said, I think the fluoride in the water was an overkill. You know, and obviously, you know, they scare you. Look, it says on the tube of toothpaste, you know, if you eat this whole tube or whatever, you may die. But I used to put too much toothpaste on. And with the Crest, you probably put like, what, a BB or two BB sizes on. I won't even use the word pea. You can even put less than a pea size on, right?
Well, you just do a little bit, you know, eighth of an inch or something, and it foams up. And if you're, according to Dr. Ellie, if your microbiome is happy, you've got a barrier there, and you're not absorbing anything. And a little bit of that, you probably don't get any more than that in eating raw cheese. I don't know.
Well, sublingual is one of the best places to absorb, so I'm not sure about that. I'd be curious.
Well, you know, I would rather listen to an expert on this rather than you. She says that the microbiome is good and solid, which is not in hardly anybody. Once you get that, it will protect stuff that shouldn't ought to be there from going in.
What do you mean you listen to her, not me? You don't think I know anything?
No, I'm just kidding. I don't know anything. I listen to people like that.
We're just discussion, you know, because I was just saying sublingual in the mouth. Mouth is really absorbable, you know, the tissue and the gums and all that. I wonder if there's a fluoride test you could do. Again, I'm not worried about the fluoride a whole lot because I haven't seen anything, although they say a thyroid.
Robert, I'm sure there's a test for anything.
Let me switch over to the thyroid.
Okay.
You know, you're saying you're doing this and all that, and you're saying, were you not feeling well? Because I'm always trying to get to, you know, I'm feeling great. Then you're always doing something different. What are you trying to improve on with the thyroid?
With what? Oh, with the iodine?
you trying to improve? Is there something that needs improved? Or
no, I'm experimenting with it to see if I can boost my body temperature a little bit. But I feel great.
You think your temperature was low?
Well, you didn't really listen to the show. You don't hear me very much. I explain the whole thing. But
let me just say, I bet you there's nobody on this planet that maybe listens to more shows than me.
Okay.
I got
all
everything
right.
downloaded.
So, okay, I'll go through it.
Sleeping with them in the car.
Okay, I'll go through it again. Sorry, I'll go through it again. I'm not sure about the temperature thing. My Ayurvedic doc says that some people just run about 97. I wouldn't chase a number, he said, and I'm not trying to. But I do get a little more chilly than I suspected. Well, I maybe would like to warm up a little bit. So I'm putting some of the Edgar Cayce Robert iodine on my footsies a couple times a day to see if, in fact, my body temperature boosts up a little bit, more as an experiment than anything. I'd like to see, and I'm using that, what are they called? Sulfur salts and sulfur, which helps to unblock the receptors, so maybe the thyroid can soak up more iodine. But I tried the pig thyroid just for fun for about 7 days, and I just didn't like it at all. And I was only doing a half, and I didn't like the way it felt, so I just quit doing that.
Okay, I've been doing that. This is, you know, and I was listening to your thing, but I was just trying to, you know, talking face to face now.
Okay.
Or phone to phone. So I do have the temporal thermometer. That's what you got, one of those, right? You mentioned.
No, I'm doing the ear thing.
But you can put it on your forehead too, or is yours just in the ear?
Oh, you can do it on the forehead. I haven't done that. I just do the ear, but I guess you can do the forehead too.
You know, Dr. Tennant up there, a lot of those guys said they like those. I have one, but, you know, the old Broda Barnes, you know, no, you got to have a glass thermometer.
Well, that's so, just because back then that's all they had.
Right.
That's all they had. That's all they had back then.
I like what you just said there, because one doctor who you was interviewing, whatever, who was it? I was listening on a road, one of your podcasts. And I was talking about something, and he said, well, a lot of people always want to say, well, this is how they did it back then. He said, but we've learned more since then.
Well, yeah, you got these little infrared things you stick in your ear, and it goes beep, and it just gives you a magic temperature, and they're pretty accurate, you know, pretty accurate.
Mm-hmm. And what was your temperature again? Sorry for...
Mine averages 97.5 up to 97.8 or 97.9, and
in the ear,
in the ear, right? Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to play with the iodine a little bit and just see if anything changes or warms up a bit. So we'll see.
Well, would you take an Armor or a Westroid or Nate, one of those?
Oh, I did the one we talked about from Vietnam, the pure pig stuff. You get cheap. Remember, we had a show on that, and
that woman on there.
Carol Borman, right?
Yeah.
But
you
they gave
some
me.
Of that?
I got 1,000. I don't know what I'm going to do with them. I'm going to give them away. 1,000, my God. Jeez, and I only used 5 of them.
Is that in a capsule tablet?
They were in a little bitty tablet, Rob, a little brown thing, and she says that's just the enteric coated little pure pig thyroid from that website we put up there. Yeah.
Pig from Vietnam,
Mm-hmm. Vietnam pig.
Mm-hmm. Did you measure your temperature while you was taking that, just for curiosity?
I did. Nothing changed. But I didn't like the way it felt, you know. I just felt weird.
How did you feel?
Just kind of like weird. I mean, it's hard to
explain. Nervous-like?
No, just kind of...
Jittery?
No, just not on all... No, just... Energetically, I just didn't like the way it felt. It's hard to explain. You know, it's a.
Did you start squealing or anything?
No, I didn't know. I didn't, you know, no pig. I didn't run around, you know. I did like bacon a lot more. No, I'm just kidding. started eating bacon sandwiches. I don't know what was happening.
You started eating a lot of slop.
Yeah, I just felt strong. I didn't like it, so I just quit.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I'm with you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like eating something that you know, I shouldn't have eaten that. It's just weird.
A The other things are popping in my head, so let me just jump around. What's the deal with the sauna in your head? You don't want your sauna to heat your head now.
Oh,
obviously, there's all those wooden saunas and all that. People are in there with their head.
Right.
Although some people wear hats, so they can't be wrong. You know, all the guys at the Hippocrates Clinic and all that. So, but what's your take on that?
Well,
you never heat your head. Or?
Most of the saunas out there, the far infrared saunas, Robert, with the wood and all that, they don't get nearly as hot as ours does. They just don't. You don't sweat all that much. Ours gets really hot, like 160, 170. So, you know, you don't want to heat your head that hot. Ayurvedic has talked about that. You just don't want to get your head that hot. So there's some people in Europe they'll actually have a ice bucket, I've read, and they'll just keep her, you know, keeping her head cool when they're in a really hot thing, like in Europe, it's not going to kill you or anything, but I don't think you want to heat up your brain. You know, Adam Bergstrom says you want a cool head and a hot ass, is what he said.
I can picture videos or whatever I've seen people, you know, on TV where they're in there and they got the bucket, like you're saying, pouring it over their head,
mm-hmm,
you know.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So do you have a sauna?
Oh, yeah, I got yours. I got the black premium one. The one they no longer make, I think.
See.
That real nice.
So, but you stick your head out with mine, right? Ours?
Well, yes, no, maybe. I mean, I like putting my head in there.
Well,
I
if you feel
the
good.
And then I zipper it up.
Yeah.
And then I put my head right underneath the opening.
Mm-hmm. For.
And then what I used to do when I first got it was I took the chair out and I just put a little plastic egg or milk carton square in there.
Oh, so you didn't have to duck your head, right?
I would just sit on the floor on there.
Well, I don't, you know.
Run my oxygen in there and breathe the oxygen.
Well, you should probably take a picture of that and we can, you know, post it up if you want.
Well, that's inside. It'd be hard to take a picture.
No, I'm just kidding. No, I don't think I wouldn't do it all the time, but, you know, as long as you're.
I was thinking that kind of just maybe detoxifies the brain, all the fat in there. And
I don't know.
You never did do the niacin stuff.
I played around with that a little bit, but it was always too intense for me. I don't like things that intense, you know, so I let go of that one. Mm-hmm. You know what I have been doing, which is kind of fun, is that Diamond G Forest turpentine that we promote, is I slather that like on tummy, colon, and then go in the sauna. I do that a lot. That's fun.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what it's doing, but I don't know. Feels good.
I think that turpentine, kind of like niacin, it dilates the vessels. It dilates, it goes in there, it's absorbed quickly.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like a essential oil, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
It's got frequency. And I know whenever, you know, you put it on, when I put it on my left foot, I have a lot of varicose veins or blood vessels on the left foot, bad circulation in there. When I put it on there, a lot of it goes away.
Does it?
And then I have it in a spray bottle, spray it on the knees. It helps with the joint pain because there's these old doctor formulas. It is Dr. Selinar's turpentine for joint pain, and it has cayenne in, but a lot of them, which you know, had the old turpentine in.
Sure.
I think Grandpa and them used to use that turpentine, like they used to use, WD-40 and stuff. I think it dilates because even when you take them sugar cubes, seems like you get a big head rush, kind of just opens up everything.
Yeah, I've never done the cubes. Have you done the cubes with the Dr. Daniels method?
I've done them off and on.
Mm-hmm.
Did one probably a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Never did do the complete protocol. You know, I jump around too much. But yes, I've done them.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't do the Tony's. Tony's is honey, right?
Well, I don't know with Tony. He's got so many recipes. You know, it's hard to keep up with that man.
I seen Tony on one of his videos. Man, he looks scary on there.
Well, does he? I haven't seen him. What do you mean, looks scary?
Oh, man. He got a sharp mind, and he can talk. But I don't know. He looks like, I don't know if he, maybe he's healthy, maybe, you know, but he looks kind of...
Oh, I think what you're referring to, I've seen the picture. I think he had, he's got a lot of scars on his face. I think he must have had, I'm just theorizing, I can ask him. I think he must have had a lot of pockmarks from zits and stuff like that when he was a kid, you know, how that happens to some mm-hmm. people. That's what it looks like. So that doesn't necessarily mean he's not healthy.
I'm not photogenic. I mean, I not to sound vain, but I think I look decent in the mirror in a good sunlight and on a good day. But any picture, I never like it of myself. But my wife and some other people I know, I could take a picture. She just looks wonderful on a picture. She actually looks better.
Well, you can ask Sharon. It's all about lighting. If you get a good photographer and they know how to light you, they can make you look great.
I like how Dr. Ellie said, if you want to see how your teeth look,
go outside.
Go outside in the sun with a mirror.
Mm-hmm.
Because I never did like it in a dental office.
Oh, well, they got all those weird lights. Yeah. So all
you know,
those.
First of all, they put a crown in or whatever.
Right.
That you're laying down, half upside down, and they say, bite on it. How's it feel?
I know.
I'm like, I don't normally bite laying upside down. I've actually had them sit the chair up and make me sit or stand and then, you know, do the bite test. I'm
That's
like,
what Dr. Donnelly does. He puts people straight up and he has them actually walk around. Then he actually has them maybe rest for a minute to really feel. That's right. And then they use use that little black paper thing to really get it perfect. Yeah, he takes a lot of time. I agree with you. You know,
that makes sense.
Of course it does. Why? How could you figure out how that feel? You know, and especially maybe you'd be a little numb or something. Crazy. You'd never know, right?
Mouth is all stretched out, got all the gauze in there, and then 2 seconds later, how does it feel?
How does it feel? Okay, get out of here, man. What are you talking about?
And then all the lights, you can't tell, but they do a good job. I mean, I'm not complaining. I mean, but
I'm going
to go out with a mirror outside. But yeah, well, do you think that's our perception of ourselves, or that's just the way some people just are better photogenic than others? I've heard that word.
Oh, I think most people don't like the way they look, and so it's just our perception, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're pretty photogenic there.
Sharon's a good photographer.
Yeah, I was going to ask, how's Sharon doing? Talk to her lately?
Yeah, she's doing good. I talk to her all the time. Yeah, she's great. She's doing
good. Doing the house rehabbing?
Well, I don't get into her life. She's kind of a private girl, so.
Okay.
Okay, kid, I'm going to roll because we're going to get out of here.
Okay.
I got something to talk. Thanks a lot. Good job. Let us know. Stay on the program and see how your teeth do.
Yeah, I'm going to order the test. All right, talk to you later. Bye. Thanks.
Triple 8-663-6386. I'm going to do something I promised to do and I haven't even got to yet before we go. Here's an email. Tony P. had more gallons 7 years ago. The nanotechnology took over his body, affects his skin. Oh, really? Okay. All right. Okay, so here's another email. Okay, you started actor program in March. No. I started Dr. Ellie's program August 1st. March is when I did my last gap test at Dr. Nunley's office. So maybe I misspoke. I think you said, and that's when you had your first pocket depth test. Yeah, but I didn't start Dr. Ellie's program until August 1st, a day after she was on July 31st. But you had the DNA test 3 months ago. Was that where you found the spirochetes? Oh, I see. Yeah, okay. The spirochetes were there in March at Dr. Nunley's office. Spirochetes, small, large, and spinning rods. The four different things. That was March at Dr. Nunley's office. And then this last Monday at Dr. Nunley's office, I had none of that stuff. Pretty rare, because I've always had these guys every time I tested at Nunley's for years. And then, that's right, 3 months ago, the DNA test, which is the test you can see online by clicking on the PDF. Yeah, sorry, that probably got a little confusing. And you just repeated both the pocket and the DNA test that counts the bacteria. Right. That's it. Apologies for asking for clarification. My phone goes in and out. Yeah. Yeah, that got a little tricky there because of Dr. Nunley's. Okay, so before I go, I got to do one thing before we do that. Sorry. That's okay. Daniel Vitalis, this idea of colostrum being really good for the immune system, tell us a little bit about that.
Well, the thing about colostrum is that it is developed in the blood of the cow right before it calves, and it's developed so that it can format the immune system of its calf. It's pretty important to understand that a calf would have no immune system if it got no colostrum. So it's pretty well understood that if you deprive a calf of colostrum, it's going to have a failure to thrive. It might even die. Now, human beings are a little bit different. We can survive without our mother's colostrum, but we never are going to have a fully intact immune system. But the important thing to remember is that we're living in an era where there's more people alive today with dysfunctional immune systems than ever before. And colostrum gives us the ability to actually restructure, rebuild, and reformat our immune systems so we can really thrive in our modern world today.
Explore, research, and order all of Daniel Vitalis' products clicking on the Survival links on the front page of OneRadioNetwork.com. Yes. Also, people have been known to put colostrum, we're talking about face stuff, on their face as well, into a face mask. There's so many good things for your face. Sharon and I are experimenting. We always like to play around with stuff. I sent her some of that aloe cream. She loves that. And we have a vitamin C thing in our store, which is really, really cool. And people use all kinds of fun things on their face. You can cucumbers and potatoes and crazy things. You can put colostrum in there too. Okay, I promised I was going to talk a little bit about something before we go. Not a long time, just a few minutes. But I think you might find it curious, interesting. I don't know how I... But we began talking about when people were doing my birthday wishes. And I played around and said, well, this is my 2,300,000 rebirth day. And kind of being silly. And let me preface this by saying these theories I'm giving you are what I believe to be pretty true based on experience and based on teachers who I really trust that have been around the bend, kind of, so to speak, that have been there, done that kind of thing. Does that make sense? So this is where this is coming from. I always like to preface that. There are times in our life when we meet people who are kind of like the real teachers that know. And it's hard to explain that because there's not a lot of them out there. But whatever. So that's where this comes from. A lot of this stuff, a lot of it too. But anyway, I'm just going to give you the basic structure of something that you might want to think about, just maybe. Because on planet Earth, we all get wrapped up in whatever. Health, money, family, and it's cool and it's great. But if you want to just stretch yourself a little bit, and I know a lot of you do, I can tell from the emails I get, people respond off the air to these kinds of things that I do on open phones, that there's a lot of interest in it. And certainly, there is when people, you know, the real famous kind of people, Eckhart Tolle and all that, get a New York Times bestsellers list and they write about being in the now and all that. I mean, people are into this stuff because they know it's kind of real. So, and there's a lot more people that are really looking into spiritual matters than you could even possibly think about because that's why we're here. So everybody knows, as Ed Leonard Cohen says, at a deep level, everybody really wants to know why we're here and what we're doing here and what it's all about. I mean, most people don't express it, but believe me, they do. And that's why it's been said that most people live lives of quiet desperation, because they never really think about it or look into it and just go on life and then end up just dying one day and then they come back and do it again. And that's pretty much the way it happens. I know that there's some people that just believe we just live one life, and it's just not true. Just not true. Sorry, it's not my, I didn't make it up. Don't shoot the messenger here. There's a thing that's called the Wheel of 84. And this has been talked about in many different spiritual paths over since the beginning of time. And they call it different things, but there is a Wheel of 84, which is also called Awagawan, and you can Google that. I don't know if that's in there, Awagan. I wonder if that's in there. Gan. Awagawan. I don't know if I spelt it right. I could look up that A-W-A. No, I think they have it in there. Yeah, the spiritual glossary, yeah. Like here is a... They mentioned that it's kind of an interesting word, Awagawan. Anyway, it's part of the Wheel of 84. In this one website here, the Dr. Brihat Singh, kind of a yogi guy, he's got Awagawan, which is births and deaths, coming and goings, end it by the grace of God. So you see, this is from a yogic tradition. So called Awagawan, Awagawan. So there's a lot of spiritual paths talk about this because it's true. You know, these things hang around and they get split off and people call them different things. So there is this Wheel of 84. And the Wheel of 84 is interesting because it means 84 locks. L-A-C-S. That's right. Adam just said 84 million incarnations. That's right. So if you have 84 times a lock is 100,000. So you can Google lock, L-A-C. And you'd have to look around and you have to go down to a lock is 100,000 years. And then if you go 84,100,000 is 8,400 years. That's right. That's the Wheel of 84. The idea being that generally you got to go through 8,400,000 years. And what you do is we all go through all 12 horoscopes as well. With each life, you might go from whatever Scorpio to this and that, and we also flip back to male and female bodies each lifetime. Generally, none of this is carved in stone. Depends on our karma, what we really need, and you could come back and be a girl twice or be a boy twice. And Adam says, "Yeah, 84 million and 84,000." I think it's years, Adam. Isn't it 84,000? But maybe it's incarnations. No, I think it's 84 million incarnations, yeah. So it's a lot. But here's the deal. It's called the Wheel of 84, and it's called Awagawan. But, and the key is, once soul, through desire and through discipline and through spiritual growth, by letting go of what he thinks is real and really digging in and you meet a real teacher that's been around since the beginning of time. There's a state of consciousness that's been around since forever, since the beginning. Was there a beginning? Probably not. But, you know, people do conjecture that God breathed out and created the universes 4,300,000 years ago, and God breathes in, and then the whole thing gets destroyed. All the souls sleep that haven't spiritually evolved, and then they do the trip again, over and over and over again. It's kind of like Groundhog Day. So if you ever wake up and say, what am I doing, man? Am I going to keep doing this forever? This, you know, this planet Earth thing? And people get the sense about, you know, and they get wore out. You know, you just get tired of, you know, doing the same thing. Life after life after life. And that's why people, you know, and what's cool about the real teacher, this real teacher is a state of consciousness, right? It's not a person. It does get reincarnated to different people in the physical to help souls find the teacher as a gift from God, but this state of consciousness is available to us because we're part of it already. So we don't have to go anywhere. But that's this whole thing what has gone on since the beginning of time as well, where people, you know, even today, people will go to India looking for the real teacher. And again, not a criticism, but you don't have to do that. But people do, and they think they find, this person and that person, and it helps them for a while. But eventually they all come around and go to somebody else, because once you find the real teacher, you don't have to go any further. You just go and keep going deeper, and you don't switch off anymore, because the real teacher, this state of consciousness, is all there is, and it just expands and gets greater, but it's not another embodiment or anything. So once you locate and get in touch with the real truth of truths, and you kind of use this state of consciousness as your guide, you can fall off the wheel of 84 and actually reach what would be called self-realization and then God-realization this lifetime, or even just get to self-realization, which is like the fifth dimension, and know yourself as soul, not believe it, but know it, and you don't have to come back here if you don't want. And you can fall off the hamster wheel and you can quit running. It's possible. And this is what humans have intuitively knew was going on, and why they've always been searching for the stars and looking for religion and gurus and whatever, right? This is because deep down they knew that something else is going on here. And, you know, I'm tired. What's up? You know, what am I doing here? Why am I even here? I mean, what's up with that, right? What am I doing here? So I'm just going to die and then take a chance of where I'm going to go and maybe come back and do the whole puberty thing again? I don't know about you, but you know, but there is a way so you can guarantee that you don't have to if you don't want to. Pretty cool. So, you know, it gives you some more options, just like on planet Earth, we have options. What do you want? Latte? You want foam? You want goat's milk? You want cow's milk? You want soy milk? We like options. So you can have an option if you really want to know. So how do you do that? Well, I don't know. I think the first, the real thing is to do is to maybe, if this is interesting to you, if it is you think about it and you really contemplate and journal about it and say, man, do I really? Yeah, man, that might. And that's the first step. And once you really get to that state of consciousness that you'd like to know for sure, and you'd like to really kind of do something this lifetime rather than just die and come back and do it again, you start with that state of consciousness, that desire, and you will find your way. You will find your way. You'll that's the old thing that when the student is ready, the master will arrive. And because that's the way it works. This state of consciousness is so cool that it knows souls that are ready to step up to the plate and do something this lifetime. And you will find your way. You will find this perfect teacher, the real deal, the real master. You know, we talk about singing Hu. You can sing Hu, the ancient word for God, which I've taught you before. This Hu. It's a love song to God. You can sing this a lot, and you can ask God to show you the way to the real teacher, the real deal, the real truth, nothing but your truth. And you do that long enough, and I guarantee you something's going to happen differently in your life that I don't know how it's all going to look, for example, but you will. So you can sing Hu before bed and ask God or your teacher or the angels that. And if you have a teacher right now that is not at the top of the mountain, so to speak, this he or she will pass you on to somebody else, because that's the way it works. Very classy operation up in these levels. They don't fight with each other. They'll pass you on. They'll let you go. It works like that. They'll say, yeah, I get it. This is as far as I can kind of take you, but go see Charlie over here. He's got, because I'm still working with these other people at this level, and I got to stay here. It's cool. It's very ethical at that level. They'll just pass you on. They won't try to hold you. Yeah, now if a teacher tries to hold you, well, then you know that you don't even want to be near there. That's a true sign, right? The pastor at your church says you're going to go to hell if you leave. That's a true sign that you need to get out of there. Because that's, that's not spirituality. That's control. You don't want any part of that stuff. So that's my little thing on the wheel of 84. You want to get off the hamster wheel. You don't want to be this little white mouse in there. These are some ideas. If you want to communicate with me more privately about this, my email is patrick@oneradionetwork.com, and I'm at your service. So if 84 million incarnations doesn't sound appealing to you, I know it's crazy. 84 locks, and a lock is 100,000 years. 84,000 incarnations. It takes a long time to get young. I love you all very much. It's an honor for me to be here every morning. We will see you with Tony P. We got some good shows for you next week. Don't have time to tell you about them. Take care of yourself. See you on Monday at 9 o'clock. If you want to order things during the weekend, our website is wide open. Just have a party. Party down. Man, I want to see some sunshine. I've got to go out in the sun here. Doodle and I are doing good. Thanks for everything.